happened to soul? You remember when they used to have soul? They always talked about soul food, you remember?
Oh, no, they don't have it anymore.
Whatever happened to funky? But you remember when everybody was referring to things in ads as funky, you know, really funky, man?
Right, these things come out and go so fast.
Whatever happened to uptight? Do you recall when everybody was uptight?
Sure, of course, and
whatever happened to the wall, you know?
Tied in the affairs of men and all have thrived to undo him. Listen, before we get started here tonight, I have a, this, you know, this is a, just like a lot of dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Now, somebody, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we did a show about letters, you know? I said, you know, one of the worst, there's all kinds of strange letters keep coming into various people in the media. For example, people who listen to you or who watch you or somehow, you know, like they go to the movies, they see Robert Redford. After a while, they begin to believe they actually know him. Oh, yeah, they really do. And not only that, they begin to believe he knows them. This is even sneakier, see? So here's a typical letter here. It says, Dear Gene, just a few lines to say hello and ask how you are. Heard you on my radio last night, and I just thought it was a long time since I dropped you a line, and I'm going to drop you a line. How do you like this hot weather? I spent Mother's Day weekend at my daughter June's in East Brunswick, New Jersey. I said hello to her for me. Ruth Ann, incidentally, is now working Gimbel's, and she's doing quite well. She's selling luggage, and we had a thunderstorm last night. I don't really have time to write to you, but I knew that you'd like to know a lot of things are going on out here. I watch Mac Davis, by the way, from 9 to 10, but I couldn't put the TV on the other night because it was raining and I was afraid of lightning. You know, lightning is liable to hit almost anybody watching Mac Davis between 9 and 10. And our fire company out here went to 2 fires last night. I thought you'd be interested to know that. And it's still raining as I write this. By the way, don't you just love Freddie Prinze and Jack Albertson in Chico and the Man? Well, I don't have much more time to write to you, but I'll be dropping a line to you from New Hampshire when we get up there on our vacation. You'll enjoy hearing about that. All right. Oh, they're out. And, oh, by the way, there's another type of writer now. I don't know what it is. It's the symbolic writer recently has become very big. There are at least 10. This is a lady type. Now, this is not a masculine thing. I just tell you from the male. I'm not being a chauvinist male pig. Yes, of course. But in this point, I'm not being one. I'm merely, yes, I am. No, of course, so absolutely. All males are chauvinist male pig. Absolutely. And if he isn't, he's faking it. If he comes on like, you know, where they say, all my men wear English leather, well, they don't wear anything. Well, the guys that come on any other way are faking it, or they got gland problems, or maybe a combination of both. But nevertheless, the facts of the matter are, I've noticed a growing trend. Now, I'm doing this only for the purposes of records. These 1,000 years from now, when they play this tape, they'll know what's going on. That there's a certain thing that's happening with the electronic medium. And that is, there are, I suppose this always happened in one way or another, but, you know, with the so-called mass media, showbiz, and so on. But there is a certain type of lady today. Now, I don't know why this is so. I'm asking a psychologist out there to let us know what he thinks about this. I have at least 10 ladies who write regularly who believe that I am flying over their house in an airplane to make love to them somehow with the airplane. Now, that's fascinating. Now, I'm constantly getting letters that start out that say, oh, my, you flew your little old airplane over the house last night. Oh, wowee, was it wonderful. You came over and you did those, oh, that little airplane. And I said, what the hell? Now, there is a theory, of course, that's extant. I read the very interesting theory in the International Psychiatric Journal the other day. I read these great little things like I read Captain Billy's Whiz Bang,
And I'm sitting there reading the International Psychiatric Journal, and the title of the article was a very interesting article by a famed experimental psychologist. And the title of the article is, here it is, it's very interesting, Is Cuckoo Birdism on the Rise? Well, now, I was delighted to know that the psychiatrists also use these terms, and the opening paragraph started out, I was really delighted. It says, Dear fellow practitioners, have you noticed more and more that cuckoo birds are coming to you every day, on the hour, every hour? Well, yes, I've noticed this. Now, I'm not, the cuckoo birds are becoming more and more. Now, a cuckoo bird is not the same as a nut. Mm. A nut, you know, a true nutter, a real nutcase. That's something else. You often wind up by throwing the net over them and hitting them on the head with a rubber mallet and all that. But a cuckoo bird is somebody who believes the butterflies are on the march, or perhaps believes that she can obtain immortality by eating grape nuts. Now that's cuckoo birdism. You know what I'm talking about? Cuckoo birdism. Right. Well. So the cuckoo bird letters that I've been getting recently have taken an interesting new turn. They in a sense, become very symbolic, and they meld, really. They mix two mediums. So the voice drifting out of the mysterious voice coil of existence. You know, your radio, you turn it on. Most people don't know what the hell a radio does, how it does it. They just know they turn it on, they get the time, or they get the news. How this little box does that is completely beyond the average person. Do you know that I read a piece recently by a guy that is a scientist and who works in scientific learning and so in that field particularly. He's an educator in science. He says that the average walking around American. And certainly the American is ahead of the rest of the world in this sense, and in a lot of reasons. He says, but the average walking around American is roughly 200 years out of date in his head as to what's the scientific reason for things that are going on. Now that's 200 years. That means roughly about 1776. The average guy, the average minute man standing at Concord or Lexington, knew about as much science as you do in actual terms. And now, a lot of people think they know more. Like one day, a friend of mine was sitting there in the car, and he says to me, and he's complaining about his headaches. And I said, well, how come you got headaches, Ellie? He said, well, I had a bomb. I says, the atom bomb? He says, yeah. He says, ever since they've been blowing up them damn atom bombs with the radiation in the air, I've been getting the headaches. Well, okay, now, just as in the same way, a Minuteman standing on the bridge at Concord often said things like this. He had the same idea. See, so he gets a headache. So somebody would say to him, forsooth, Samuel, why dost thou headache? He would say the following. He'd say, huh! It's the vapors. Oh, the cursed vapors. Well, he had an idea that there were things called vapors, which were mysterious gases in the air that were somehow inspired by the devil. And vapors would come and cause your head to hurt. And so a physician would arrive and wind up putting leeches in his ear or something else equally scientific, which incidentally is not a bad idea. I've known many a person who has been saved from the doors of death. Can you imagine a great Welby episode when Dr. Welby says there's only one thing to do? He says, now he talks to his young assistant. He says, now of course you, what's his assistant's name? Steve? And Marcus Welby looks at this lady laying there. She's in the hospital bed and she's going, he says, oh, he says, very interesting, Steve. He says, you probably not run into this in your pursuit of medicine, since you've only just recently graduated from Hahnemann Medical School. But we old practitioners have seen many things that none of you have seen. And now, for this one moment, in this particular episode of our exciting life together, you're going to learn something about real medicine. Lady, madam, please, would you repeat that for Steve? and her eyeballs spin. He says, you notice that? And you notice the eyeballs spinning. Steve, this lady is suffering from vapors. You've probably never seen vapors. Vapors are almost as bad as croup. Now, she has been to me several times with croup, but now she's got vapors, and this happens late in life. And there's only one cure, Steve, leeches. Well, you know, you put leeches all over the head, see, and they suck out the vapors. Just like that, see? And what a fantastic scene. Suzanne Pleshette with leeches on her ears, you know, and you dolly in quickly Barry Scheer, who directs all television shows today. Directed by Barry Scheer. And the camera dollies in, I can hear Scheer. All right, now dolly in, pick up the leeches. Now, number three, easy, pick it up now. Okay, zoom in on that big brown one there. There it is. Pick up that big brown leech. Now back and cut to Steve now. Oh, that'd be kind of nice. You know, Steve looking horrified. So cuckoo birdism is on the march. And for those of you out there who are interested in the psychiatric ramifications of our time, they're beginning to run together various mysterious phenomena. In other words, the radio is mysterious and flying an airplane is mysterious. And both are beyond the ken of the average walking around guy. The average person doesn't know what keeps an airplane up. You think he does? You do. All right, class. All of you who understand what keeps an airplane up, raise your hand. I see. The entire class now has its hands up. All right, now. I'll ask another question then, class, since you're so smart. How many of you know what keeps a satellite up? Oh, you all know that too. Very good. All right, now, how many of you have often wondered why, when a cruise ship is heading for the Bahamas, it doesn't fall off the end of the ocean? I see. The ocean is curved, I see, and it just keeps going down. Well, then, how many of you have wondered then why the ships then that sail into Australia don't fall up in the air? Oh, you haven't thought about that. You do know that. I see. Oh, I see. It's centrifugal force. Aha! Very interesting, class. Now you're moving. Now, class, I'll ask you other questions. Now, when you turn on your light switch, what makes that bulb light? What is that stuff called? I see. Electricity. Now, you say, why does electricity make the bulb light? I see, because you pull the switch. Very good, class. Now you're on the way. All right, now that we've got the light bulb lit because you pulled the switch, what makes the bulb go out when you don't give it any electricity? What happens there? Oh, I see, you turned the switch the other way. Very good, you turned it to off. Well, all right, class, now you're doing well. Your scientific knowledge is good. Now let's try a little experiment with your radio now. There is a knob on your radio marked VOL that does not have anything to do with the University of Vanderbilt's football team, the Vols. We know this. What is a Vol? I see. A Vol is the what class? Volume. Correct. Oh, there, the kid in the back. All right, say it again so the rest of the class. Volume. Right. All right. Now, when you turn that up, what are you actually turning when you turn up the volume? Very good, class. A knob. That's right. That is called a knob. Now, when you turn... No, this class is much more advanced than most other classes. Now, when you turn up that... You are turning a knob. Now, when you turn the knob, the voice comes out louder. Is that correct, class? I see. Well, that means you need new batteries. Now, for those of you who have just got a fresh set of Everettis there, do you notice when you turn your knob clockwise? Now, how does a clock go? Yes, correct. The hands go from right to left clockwise. When you turn your hand clockwise, what happens to the volume, class? It gets louder or softer? Which does it get? It gets softer. Well, now let's try again now, class. Now, Joseph over there said softer. Now, do any of you have any other ideas? Aha! Ah! Oh, no, 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 no. The hum, it has nothing to do with it. Jeanette just pointed out that the hum gets bigger. That's very good. That's true with the radios that you have these days. It does. It's a very bad hum. But that's not what we're asking. You turn it now, class, and it gets... louder! That's right, class. Very good. Louder, louder. All right, now. Now, you hear this voice coming out of that little grill there. That grill, behind that grill is a... What is it? A what? What's behind that grill that makes that sound? That's correct, correct, correct. Stanley, you're right. Say it for the rest of the class. A loudspeaker. Correct, correct. A loudspeaker. Okay, now, in spite of the fact that many of your radios won't get very loud because they're badly designed and your batteries are run down, it is called a loudspeaker. Now, how does that loudspeaker produce the human voice? You're correct. 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 Simon, that's correct. Yes, because the person is speaking into the microphone, and for that reason, it makes the loudspeaker go. Well, that's almost correct, except that you have not explained to me why it comes out of your speaker. All right. Very good. That will be the subject for tomorrow's class. I want you to all read up on it. Tomorrow, you read TV Guide. I want you to read everything that's written under Wednesday for this week's TV Guide. And especially I want you to concentrate on any shows that have Donald Sutherland in them. These are intellectual shows. And whenever you run into any shows of that type, I want you to put a little star next to it. Be sure to miss it, right? You know, can't you imagine Nixon? Isn't it fascinating how all that hubbub for years we talked about Nixon, now he's completely gone just that fast. Now, and you thought you were indispensable, right? You know? Where is Agnew? You know. Oh, I don't know. You just assume. No, no, no. That's an assumption a lot of people make. But it's funny about that, how that quickly... Can you imagine what a great play you could write? See, it's like Crap's Last Tape. You ever read that play, see it done? You could have this scene of this ancient elderly president, ex-president. He's got a shawl that was given to him by the Indian tribe when he was in. He's wearing a shawl, and he's got a big American flag back of him, and the year is 1997, and he's an elderly man, a very old man, see, and he's rocking back and forth on the rocking chair that was used at one time by John Kennedy, and he's rocking back and forth, and he's got this old Wallensack tape recorder. He's got this old Wallensack tape recorder, and you hear this voice coming out of the tape recorder, and the voice says, Mr. President, we're just going to have to launder all this dough. So what we're going to have to do, we're going to send Charlie down to Mexico, and then he stops the tape, and he sets it back to the, you know, back again. He goes, he sets it back, and then he presses the button. Mr. President, we're just going to have to launder this dough. We're going to have to send it all down to Mexico. We're going to send Charlie down to Mexico tomorrow afternoon. And HR, hold a minute, are you listening? Hold a minute, if you'll do... And then he stops it again. Wow. Are you thinking about that? What's the matter, you guys? Can't you just see, you know, people tend to, when they get very old, you know, they tend to look at old albums. Yeah, the older the person, the more he tends to like to look at old photographs. You ever notice that aunts of yours, old elderly aunts, they keep bringing out pictures of when you were a little boy? You ever see that? They don't do that. You know, you don't do that when you're younger, see? It's when you get older. And so I suspect that as Nixon gets older, more and more, he will be rerunning his old memories. And some of them are going to be really great. I could just see this one where he keeps playing this one phrase over and over again. And you hear this voice. And one voice says, Ehrlichman, John, what do you think of it? And there's a pause. And you're, well, I say that what we ought to do is hang him on a string and let him slowly dangle in the wind. And then he plays that, you know, great. Great phrases that have come out of this. You know, he goes, he wants to hear that again. Well, what I say is we ought to
hang him from a string and let him slowly dangle in the wind.
He stops it. He looks back. And off in the distance, you can hear somebody upstairs, Pat, this very elderly lady by that time, and up there, upstairs in her room, surrounded by doilies, she's playing old moments of her life over again. You can hear the Marine band going, and then he presses the button again. And the thing goes, and he stops right there. And he hears this voice saying,
"Well, I say that those rotten, crummy skunks in the medium, all those crummy bums are out to get us. And we're going to get them before they get us. I'll tell you what you do. Dean, I want you to get over to the FBI. I want you to tell them to blow it up, burn all them papers. And I want you to deep six it. Hear it? I repeat, deep six it, right?"
And he hits the button again. Oh, those old memories. Oh, there's nothing like... It's a feeling of... Already, don't you have this feeling of deja vu over Watergate? Deja vu. Deja vu. Isn't that a song that Hildegard used to sing? Or is deja vu something that you put on your earlobes when you have a sprained brain? I don't know. Deja vu. Deja vu. I think that I will never see a poem lovely as a tree. Yes. Already the 60s have a quiet sort of a period piece air about them, don't they? Do you remember those wonderful old riots they used to have at Columbia? Do you remember those days? Yes. Oh, they were so... Those were exciting times. And do you remember all those posters? You remember the ones that used to say, "Would you buy a used car from this man?" Oh, those were wonderful days. Do you mind if I sit down here just to contemplate my navel for a bit, right? Of course, philosophically speaking. Yes, and it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know, here it is, right there in the Psychiatric Journal. Is cuckoo birdism on the rise? Yes, well, you know that there's one lady out in Olathe, Kansas, who believes that every night Walter Cronkite sails past her house in a 42-foot yawl, forever trying to throw a life preserver to her and bring her to his breast, and they will sail away forever to Tahiti. He keeps getting those letters. And I keep getting letters from ladies who believe that I'm flying over to the little house in the Passaniqua or Teaneck or Yahoo Junks in Connecticut. Yes, doing slow barrel rolls. So, all you cuckoo birds out there, wherever you might be, stick with it. You can. You can attain immortality by making carrot soup every night. And don't you let them kid you. Yes, that's true. Oh, isn't that kind of nice? Just sort of drifting away here in this rubber ducky raft. Yes, didn't you know that I got one of these blow-up rafts? It's got a little ducky head on the front. And I just roll along there. A little plastic oars there. Sure, you hear about a hole speaking of... Oh, that's enough, Joe. That's enough. We don't want to spoil him. What's the matter? Didn't you hear about that guy? There's a guy just took off from Bedford, Massachusetts in a $17.95 inflatable Zaire rubber raft. Yeah. He's going to see if he can get all the way up, you know. Oh, well, you know. What's one of these little rubber ones? You've seen them. You know. Sure, I knew a guy that finally got on the Olympic team. He did all his training in one of these little wading pools that you blow up. Come on, bring it up there, Joe. Bring it up big. What's the matter there? Well, I must admit that he's the only guy that ever competed in the Olympics with only 7.5 inches tall. And he can swim like hell, though, I'll tell you. Of course, web feet always help. You know about the Jersey Pineys, don't you?
You know that in the Jersey Pineys, many, many people have web feet. There's been a group of Jersey Pineys who have a fin down the back there. You don't know what goes on in those woods. I'll tell you, you know, interbreeding, intermarrying, it all does it, you know. So bring it up there, please. That's tonight's genetics lesson, please. What's the matter, Jim? What are you laughing at? It's not funny when you got web feet. That is a serious problem. You can swim like hell, but I'll tell you, it doesn't do much for your social life when you take off them kids. And people notice that you also got claws instead of toenails, and it's bad news. Of course, you know the Jersey Devil is still out there. Oh, yeah. I know a guy that actually saw it outside of Long Branch one night. In fact, he stopped and had dinner with it at the Route 3 Diner. And, you know, picked it up hitchhiking. He figured he could, well, it's... Has your town elected the Jersey Devil to be its mayor, huh? Hey, I visited a Jersey town the other day that never in its history has a mayor, did it have a mayor in a slam.
By request.